Before we go into the teaching for today and then to continue to pray, let's just take our declaration of understanding as we usually do. All right? I know it's cold outside, but we are warm-blooded. We maintain a constant internal temperature, okay? So even though it's cold outside, we are warm. Amen? Shake your neighbor. Prove to the person you are warm. Aha. All right, do that. They don't go cold. They are cold. They're not shaking anybody. All right, now let's put that attitude, declare the word of the Lord that we have understanding. Amen? Want to let's go? Now I declare the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's quickly take our seats and do a short teaching. Now let's open our Bibles. I want to start today's teaching from a particular portion. There are two of them I have in mind. Okay, let's start from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, we're looking at, for some time we've been doing that. So, we've been on it for a while. The intercessory duty of believers. The intercessory duty. Remember, it's a duty. It's a duty. God has called us to do this. There's a problem with this life. The world turns us to intercessors. The world turns us to commentators, I wanted to say. We run commentary. That's what we do. I've said it again and again. This life operates very strongly on the rule of substitution. There's a principle of substitution. It gives you something to do, so you can't do what you are supposed to do. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that's the way it works. The tongue is given, the mouth is given for an assignment or for some assignments. It will never be idle, I can assure you. What the world will do, what Satan does, is to give you something else to talk about. The time you are supposed to be interceding, you'll be running nonsense commentaries. And the funny thing is that if you're not careful, you get a form of satisfaction from it. See, Satan's assignment in life is to just redirect. Let's talk about worship as an example. There's nothing you can do. You must worship. It's what you worship that's the thing. That's the problem. You're supposed to worship God. You're supposed to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that desire for worship is always, there is a craving. It's like air. It's like water. If you don't drink enough water, you want water. The deer starts panting for the water brooks. That's the way it works. If you hold your breath for a few seconds, if you are not trained in holding your breath, you have this urge, this panic. That's the way it works. All right? To take in a deep breath. In the same manner, everybody wants to worship. It's not, look, you have to. You're created to be like that. So what Satan does is to redirect the worship. There is no reason, humanly speaking, why people, they go to a place like United Kingdom. The passion with which people follow football clubs, you can't understand it. If you're a Nigerian, you think you love football. You've not been to those guys, how they behave. Their love for football is literal worship. And they play on Sundays. Do you play matches on Sundays in Nigeria? Regularly? Sunday. Okay, I don't know. But there, Sunday na regular. It's people's worship. You know, there was a time I was watching some of these things. Do we have hooligans, football hooligans in Nigeria?
Yes, but not like that.
We don't have hooligans. We just have a few thugs. What do they call football hooligans? No, you know, there are things you don't know you don't have because you don't have them. So you look for the closest and call it that name. Go to where those guys have hooligans. It's, you see, it's religious. I remember one World Cup years ago when I was still following things like that, they beat. They had to blacklist some people. They can't travel. And one of them was a millionaire. Remember that guy? Multi-millionaire. They had to black. I don't know which of these European countries World Cup was holding. They had to monitor that you can't come. And this very rich guy was a football hooligan. They just go to go and start causing trouble. If they can't get into the stadium, they cause trouble in a bar nearby. So they started marking them. They became a matter of national security, international security, not even national. To start marking these guys that, no, this World Cup period, you can't travel. They will be praying that they will commit a small offense so they can lock them up until World Cup is over. You think about it, it's because the heart of man has to worship. It's a desire for worship. They have to have a cause that is bigger than them to go after. And that's what the Lord created in all of us. See, when God has blessed you, you don't chase after drugs. You are not a football hooligan. You are not meditating, you know, uselessly. You know, they call it useless meditation. Just thinking of what you don't even know what you're thinking of. It's like this soul has to have a kind of, I'm looking for one word in English now. Is this one correct? Wonderment. Is that good? You say awe. No, I don't want awe. I want a word like, there has to be something out there you have this kind of inquisitive heart towards, because it's so great and it's just there. Some just sit down every day looking into the universe. Why? We are supposed to worship. That was why Paul went to Athens and said, the thing that you worship, you know, the Athenians had all kinds of things. So they had one to the unknown God. In case there's somebody who was supposed they put a temple there for the unknown God. Please, if you come to Athens, enter this place, we'll worship you here. You can't tell a human being not to worship. I've said it again and again, atheism is religion. If it wasn't, you wouldn't be so passionate. You see some people like Dawkins and Hitchens is late now. You see the way they go about atheism. It's a crusade. If it was just ordinary, I don't agree with your God, you will leave me alone now. No. They're writing books like God is not great. I said, listen. Meanwhile, what they're asking you to believe in makes less sense than the one you believe in. Yet they are aggressive about trying to tell you to believe. I remember one of my classmates, I thought him a very intelligent person. In fact, you know, there are people I've met in my life that opened my eye to certain sectors of life. He's one of them. He's not a Christian. I think it was from him I first borrowed the book by A Brief History of Time by, not Dawkins, the physicist. A Brief History of Time. Stephen Hawking. It was from him I first borrowed the book. And I had a lot of respect for his intellect. Until one day he made a statement, I lost all the respect I had for him. He had read things like that, all right? And he said that he doesn't understand why God, in the light of the, you know, the vastness of the universe, you know, then, things have changed now. Then they told us that there were about 100 to 200 galaxies in the observable universe. The last I saw by one prominent physicist is that they're by a trillion. Yeah, that's it. And of all those galaxies, we had in one, and in that our galaxy, we had over between 100 and 200 billion stars. That has been revised upward to like 400 billion. But then, that's what he said then. And then in our own galaxy, our sun is not one of the biggest ones, an intermediate-sized star. And as you know, our planet, it's not even anything near. They said you can put almost 2,000 Earths inside Jupiter alone. If you are still thinking, don't bother. That's how tiny we are in the scope of, yes, the universe. Our solar system is as small as a grain of rice compared with the Pacific Ocean. When you compare our solar system, not our Earth, the whole solar system, to our galaxy. But like a grain of rice floating on the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean being our galaxy. And right now, there are about 1 trillion in the observable universe. So say, why should God, if there's a God, why should he be interested in that kind of small space? That's what he was trying to tell me. And I said in my mind, okay. I lost respect for him that day because I didn't think somebody that intelligent could be that foolish. Yeah, I thought, this is very foolish of you. You think that is silly, right? But it's easier for you to believe that this whole vastness came from a dot that exploded for no reason at no time and became everything. Which one is sillier? To me, what I believe, okay, let's assume it's a bit ridiculous, all right? But yours is far more ridiculous. And it's me, I say there's a cause. You are saying there's no cause. There's no first cause. Everything just came out of nowhere for no reason, at no time. And then we are here. As crazy as what I ask you to believe is, what you are asking me to believe is crazier. It makes more sense to think that somebody decided, that's how I like it. After all, small aside, after every other thing you are seeing is an illusion. That's what it is. Universe is expanded into what? So it's expanded into what? What is behind it? I'm talking about theism. They take things that make, but then they're aggressive about their persuade. Why? Because it's a form of worship. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's a form of worship. It's not reason. I've been saying it for a long time. Atheism is a religion. It is a religion. So what people do to us all the time is to persuade us to worship something else. That's the rule of substitution. When it comes to the use of the tongue, also the same thing. You're supposed to be an intercessor. The world and Satan will try its best to turn you into a commentator. And that's what I'm preaching about this season. Please, this is the duty of the Lord for you. You must be an intercessor. You must constantly be bringing up, you see, alignment, arrangement of things to, that is, to conform with the will of God does not happen spontaneously. Even when God has promised it. One of the reasons why God gives promises is to give you what to pray about. Did you hear what I said? One reason he gives promises is to use, is to create prayer points in your heart. When he said 70 years, you guys are going to be in Babylon. He said, Jeremiah, write it down. One day, Daniel, get up and read. Then when Daniel read, he now began to make, let's use the word, a demand based on the promise that had been given. Are you getting my point? When I was younger, learning faith, I thought the promise would be automatically fulfilled. No. And the reason is that faith provokes prayer. Do you hear what I said? The promises are not fulfilled without faith. And without faith, and if there is faith, there will be prayer. Do you get my point? Faith provokes prayer. It's like David would say, quicken me according to thy word. The literal thing there is promise. You understand? Sorry, okay, the literal thing is word, but in the context, it's promise. What David was saying is that you have promised, now do it. And God requires you to say that, to authorize him to fulfill his promise. Not as if he forgot. Do you get my point? And that's why Isaiah said, those who remind the Lord. Because looking from the side of human beings, it's as if he's forgetting. No, but no, not as if he's forgetting. The truth is that he didn't forget. He's requiring your participation. He doesn't take you into the promised land you don't want to enter. So he tells you, I will take you to a promised land. Then you will get up and say, oh yeah, can we go? And then you will see difficulty on the road. You will say to the Lord, please, let's be going. He said, this guy wants to enter the promised land. That way you persuade him to fulfill that which he has promised. But if you refuse to do that, it will look as if he forgot. Fulfillment of promises requires active participation on your side. Now, not as if you work to fulfill the promise, but your own work. What I mean is that, let's use material things. That God said, I'm going to make you a billionaire. You understand? He didn't say, go and start a business. That's not what I mean by it requires a participation. You don't know the way he's going to do it. Okay? But his promise will now require you to believe it. All right? And in that process, to be asking him to do it. That's what I mean. And you will refuse. For example, if he says, stay here. Sow in the land. You're in Gera. Don't go to Egypt. And there I'm going to prosper you. You will now get up in the morning. You understand my point? And behave like a man who's going to be blessed in this land. If your neighbor is saying, I'm traveling, I want to sell my land, buy it. You can't force rain to fall. There's drought in the land. But God will say, see, that land, how much does it go for normally? You say, 100 shekels of silver. I say, good. Your neighbor is traveling. He wants to sell it for 10. Sell your horses and buy. That's the participation I'm talking about. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. It requires you to, you know, get up in the morning. You want to go and sow. Father, thank you. You say you are going to prosper in this land. Prosper in the land. You know, they are farmers. Send rain. You keep on uttering words just to show you are working with him. You are participating with him. That's all. Are you getting my point? That's what God does. He gives us promises. Anything he looks like. That's why he said, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. Once he said this also, that means the other things. Everything he has been saying before then, he wants them to ask him to do for them. He said, I will increase their men like a flock. He said, Lord, increase us like a flock. It's not a hard thing. Just say, this is what you promised. Do it. Are you getting my point? If you guys look like you are depleting, say, this is not what the Lord promised. Father, now that's what it means, like you are reminding. As if he forgot. He didn't forget. He just requires your participation. And one of the things you must learn in life to pray about, all right, is like Elihu said, give me understanding. No, David said, give me understanding, I shall live. He said, that which I need, know not, teach thou me. Because many times God wants to walk in your life. The problem, what is hindering it, is something you don't know. Do you get my point? Something happened to me some time ago. I don't know whether I gave as an example recently. There was this, now, you know, when you can't see, something that on your back of your head. I was telling my wife about it. And this thing was ailing me for literally years. You know, I have medical training. Are you aware of that? So I know when it started. It was at the back of my head. I know when it started. So I'll feel it. So after a while, I told my wife, I think this is what this problem is. I bought one particular, I won't give you details now. Topical cream, ointment. I put. What I'm telling you, it must have been there for, if it's so small, 2-3 years. Yeah. So one day I said, Lord, this is getting too serious. It wasn't a serious matter. It wasn't a big deal. But I went and prayed. I prayed about it. Father God, this, I don't understand this. This is like pray. This is crawling over 2 years now. Third year. I prayed about it again. There's a reason I'm laughing. So the Holy Spirit said, leave it alone. And I left it alone and it disappeared within like about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Leave this thing alone. It was after he got totally healed. I realized what was happening. I couldn't see it. But my nails could see it. The Lord said, Shay, let's heal it. He will heal it. You know, when things are healing, they dry up a bit. And I peel it again. Scratch it. So one day just said, leave it. Seriously, my heart, I just said, leave it alone. I said, okay, no problem. Within a few weeks, maximum 4. Totally gone. It was not so bad, I couldn't even feel where it used to be. I was telling my wife about it a few days ago. I said, do you know? And all the while, God said, this boy, you are causing unnecessary problems. I'm telling you the truth. It happened to me. That's all they had to do. Just leave it alone. Stop trying to heal it. Don't apply. Just leave it. Leave it. And in a month, maximum, it was gone. When I say gone, totally. I'm quoting scripture, that which I see not, teach thou me. It's important. There was a time I had serious, if you want to diagnose, I could diagnose all kind of arthritis. My left thumb. It was so bad that there are times I would bandage it to sleep. It was really painful. I prayed over this thing. Now, I'm very slow to take medicine. Don't worry. I have my reasons why, all right? I have my reasons. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong at all. The other day, my son was feeling one kind. This boy has malaria. I told somebody, jab his butt for me with injection. So I'm not saying it's wrong, okay? But that thing was disturbing me for a long time. I prayed and prayed. I mean, it was so bad sometimes that I will actually have to bandage it with the other finger to try and get some peace. After praying and praying, one day my spirit just felt, it's the way you drive. What? Driving. I changed the way I drove. I don't know how long, a few weeks, was gone. An average person will have gone to look for, they will have been taking serious NSAIDs, non-steroids, to get the pain to go. May I refuse to do that? I said, this thing, what is wrong with you? Just wake up and be afflicting somebody for nothing. I prayed about this thing for a long time. Until that day, let me say, my spirit, I just picked this thought. It's the way you drive. Every time you go out, you injure your finger and you don't know. So I just checked the way I read. I can't give you details now, but that's what happened. I changed the way I drove, changed how I held my steering. I had a habit for certain reasons. I just use one hand to drive. A lot of times the steering snaps back and it puts a little bit of pressure on my thumb. I'm not aware of it. But, you know, I just kept on. So every day, I was getting injured. I wasn't aware. I just feel like telling some of these stories. You know, I've told you before here, some things I say, some of them I learned obedience through the things I suffered. I have realized that if you start hyping one food as a key to eternal life, is your problem, you can't go, well, without God and I, we know what we are doing. We know each other. You say, what is Banky doing? He has found the elixir for eternal life. He's not eating it. He said, yes. Say, tell one angel, go and make him sick. Garden egg. You know garden egg? I told you before. Ordinary. Angara. Please, if you are not Portuguese like us, you won't know what I'm saying. That is... just garden egg. I ate it till I got dermatitis. And typical of me again. It's prayer. We'll go and kneel down. We'll pray and pray and pray. Until God opened our eyes and said, oh boy, shall we you all... He said, fresh vegetable, yeah, this is good for you. All the roughage, you know, it has this and has that. God said, be eating. Eat now. Eat. When I realized that, oh boy, when I die, you do. See, I told a story recently. I was having a discussion. And somebody said, check yourself, check. Go for a check up. So, one of our brothers now said, do you remember... my in-law, I told you. I said, yes. He said he used to go for a checkup every 6 months. Between the last checkup and the next one, his kidneys packed up. He needed to have a kidney transplant. And then I mentioned it to where some doctors were gathered. And one brilliant young doctor, one of my colleagues, young guy, he said, sir, but that's what was wrong with him. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, from what you have told me, he's very health conscious. There's people like that use all kinds of supplements, give them this herb to make them become young forever, they will take. He says, people like that. He told me, go and check it. There's a very high probability that some of those things he took that injured his kidneys and knocked them out in just a few months. Yeah, medically we can give you the name of the, there is crescentic this and that. Yes, we can explain. But what started it? After all, Albert Einstein said, every object continues in a state of rest, or uniform motion in a straight line. Until you get an external force that decides to tell you to compel, decide to compel you to do otherwise. He said, go and check. It's all the health. That's why I said, you should pray. That which I do not see, teach thou me. Many people are hurting themselves every day. And the painful part is that they are not aware. Sometimes what they eat, sometimes what they don't eat. You go and listen to a motivational speaker that tells you, what are you doing sleeping? Your competitors are weak. They will take all the customers. Then you too. 6 a.m. you have reached work, which means you woke up at 4. You left your house at 5. By 6, you are in the office. It is the reason why your customers are leaving. Because when you are talking to them, they can see the days in your eyes. They know your mind is not with them at all. You are struggling to keep awake when they are negotiating with you. You won't know why they went to your neighbor who is always happy in the morning because they party at night. Sleep on time, come late, feeling very happy. He danced salsa with his wife before he leaves the house every morning because his wife just turned 50. So he does his salsa every morning before leaving home. He's just always happy. You won't know. And you say, all my enemies don't want me to prosper. They have increased their attack on my business. It's not the attack on your business. It's the fact that you are talking to your customers. They can see that you're not listening. You're struggling to kiss. Have you ever you're talking to somebody, person is trying not to yawn. Which is proof that whatever you are saying is not interesting. You see what I'm saying? That's why I said, that which I say not, teach them, you must pray that prayer. I'm saying this because a lot of times God wants to bless people. It is something that they have as a habit, some actions, some wrong thoughts, things that are stuck in their heart that's preventing him from releasing the blessing. Don't ever forget that. So back to what we're saying. God wants us to be what? Intercessors, not what? Commentators. I need to say this again. The day of judgment, surprise good deal. You hear what I said? What did I say in Spanish? Okay, in Pidgin. Okay. Say it in proper English. Day of judgment, there will be a lot of surprises. You will be held accountable for things you did not know was your business. A pastor that was preaching lies, when God will align those who are preaching lies with him, you'll be surprised. Now, what do I mean? You'll be surprised. There are preachers that are preaching things that are not true. And when God wants to judge that matter, he will include you. Say, Lord, I'm not even a preacher. God will say, see, let me tell you, there are three categories of people that will be held responsible. Let me just tell you. Number one, those who enjoy it. You know, there are those who enjoy people telling lies. Lie to me. Tell me what I'm doing is right. Lie to me. Lie to me. So they come to church, they'll be increasing in number. The more the man preaches what is not true. All of them are part of the judgment. I'm a preacher, and I can assure you of one thing. If you're not careful, people can dictate what you say. And they won't say a word to you. They just sit down in church. They just dictate what you preach. All they do is sit. And they are dictating what you're preaching. If you're not spiritually disciplined, you'll be surprised it happens. A lot of preachers are there talking nonsense. It's the people. Many people are chasing witches. They don't believe in witches. It's all those people that came to church and said, boy, it's witchcraft problem I have. I'm not going to sit on that because it's not my main issue for today. They are part of it. Sometimes, those people, you know, there are people they say, keep our, I heard Kenny Hagin say it. So some people have this philosophy. God, keep our pastor humble, we keep him poor. And hunger is very powerful. Hunger can call you, can give you a message if you are not careful. When that man starts lying, it's not, like I said, yes, your own side of spiritual discipline. But there are people that God said, you are the reason why he's hungry. So for lying about food, preaching messages so he can eat, the Lord will join you in the judgment. The fourth category, that's what I want to talk about today, are those who know that this man is lying, and God has given them, whether they realize it or not, the responsibility to pray for him, and they don't. They rather sit down and discuss the lies. That's the third category. So you see the pastor who's preaching things that are not true. Judgment time, God adds all these four people. And this judgment time does not have to be last days. The final throne judgment. Sometimes they are alive. Listen, I'm sorry, this is a fact. As your life is going, God is blessing. And God is, whatever you call the opposite of blessing, people. Based on what they do and what they don't do. Every day. Every day. You know, we're talking about prayer. That there's a prayer with reward. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward already. So there's a kind of prayer you pray, it has reward. And there's a kind of prayer you refuse to pray, it brings forth judgment. That refusal. Don't forget what I'm saying. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to know this time, we have to take this intercessory duty seriously. I was listening to Zach Punen. He said some people will come and say they prayed 5 hours. He says, number one, if you prayed 5 hours, we don't want to know. It's supposed to be a secret between you and God. Don't come and brag to us about it. And when I get up, I don't sleep. I'll be praying like that in the morning. Zach Punen said, why are you telling us? Let the Heavenly Father who sees in secret reward you. Don't harass us with this. But what he was saying is that, and I agree with him, If you really understand the concept, this principle of intercession, you know that your 5 hours prayer, 6 hours prayers, they are not enough. They are not. So that is why the Bible says what? Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray all the time. Men ought always to pray. That's what just, so this one of, I stood there. I heard one man preaching one. He said, hey, how is it moving? He said, before he used to start by 12 and finish by 2. Say, what about now? Now he starts by 12 and finish by 5 a.m. I look at them, I look at the two of them, I say, will you guys go and sit down? See, I like what Zach Punen said. Zach Punen said, look, listen, the Bible, the only timing God gives us in the New Testament is when? All the time. Pray without ceasing. No, my experience now is that if you really want to do your intercessory duty, you'll find yourself praying all the time. You're reading the news, and then you hear that flood went somewhere and did something, and it pains you. I mean, it's your country. Then you start praying against divine judgment and start asking for mercy. And like I've told you, please, let me say it again. I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to emphasize that thing. This modern Pentecostal gyrating, which word do I use? Look, Joe, what word will I use? Yes, this energetic, give me another word. No, exercise is not good. Give me another word. Gymnastics is good. No, really, it's not necessary. I'm not saying it's bad. What did I say?
It's not necessary.
It is not when you set a time when you can be banging your head against the wall that you are praying. As soon as you read that news article, you can bow your head there, right there in your office, right there in your place of business. And take a minute, literal 30, 60 seconds, I mean it. And say things, simple things. Lord, have mercy now. Please, if this was the result of your judgment, please, can you stay the hand of judgment? I'm begging you to have mercy on the people. Last time I talked about Amos. Amos said, I saw the Lord preparing a swarm of locusts. And after the king's share of the harvest was taken, they came and ate up everything on the land. Said, ah! I said, Lord, stop. And Lord said, why? He said, Israel is so small. How will they survive? The Lord said, there will not be. They saw the Lord preparing fire. He said, ah, Lord, please stop. All he said was, please stop. Like our brother Jonathan was leading prayer earlier. You ask the Lord for something to stop. He stops. You don't realize it because you've asked. Yeah. Have you ever had this feeling? That when there's a problem, Satan will get tired and he will stop. Maybe in the house now. Somebody fell sick and died. Just as you know, nobody will die in the next 15 years. I've had that, I used to have such thoughts. It's not true. If you give Satan his way, if you give Satan his way, if something looks like a bad thing is happening, go quickly go and pray. Sometimes these things are nothing but warning signs. There's a man I know. That's a terrible thing. A portion of his house collapsed and killed his dog. His dog. So they fixed that portion. A few weeks later, that portion collapsed again and killed him. See, it's God's mercy that stops calamity. Yes. If Satan has his way, Okay, look at Job's children. Job's children, everything. Do you know where he was going? Job. What are they? You can't kill him. You know, God had to be stopping him. The guy, the way he was going, Job was the issue. God has to say, it's okay, but you can't kill him. Because the guy said, if he won't lose his faith, I'll kill him. Before he starts teaching somebody else how to believe. So if you see calamity, just say, please stop. And let me say this to you again. God likes to hear. No, not he likes. He needs to hear some of these words. So Sinan said, why? He said, God, please stop. This why we'll handle it later. For now, stop. Children fall sick at home, or you have one accident or the other. Pray, please stop. And then you now start trying to unwind what is happening. If you understand the principle of intercession, you can't stop praying. Like maybe portion of town, development is going, there's suddenly contractors starts coming to work. What's the normal thing an average person will say? This is the problem in this country. Thank you very much. They have eaten the money. And God, the angel of God just look at you like this. Is that all you have to say? What else? This new coalition that's coming up now, let's assume you'll be talking nonsense. And then you just, any other thing you want to say, what did I say? Thunder fire them. Why don't you just say, Lord, this work that is started, I'm praying that you be completed. What does it cost you? But like Jesus said, not all men, Paul said, not all men have faith. The Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find what? Faith on the earth. That's what the problem is. We don't recognize, I need to explain this. We actually don't recognize how much power God has over government, over the environment, over thieves, over robbers. We don't understand how much power he has. That you can hear that burglars keep returning to this area. And you just kneel down and say, Lord, stop. Let them stop. In peace we will lie down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes us dwell in safety. You have a scripture. God can make the burglars hear a rumor. And then they will run away. Or he will invite them to come and do their work. After a new OC, you know what they call OC? Officer in charge. Of the police unit covering that area. One very angry guy. Maybe thieves have attacked his family before. So he's looking for who to pour the vengeance. They're people like that. They're walking around looking for who to pour the vengeance of God on. They now gave him a gun with the right to shoot. Then one night, they say, let me go and patrol your area. Then God will now gather all the burglars, all the criminals to come that day. And that fellow, once he carried the first one, just starts shooting. He doesn't want to hear anything. After he has shot like 5 out of 10 of them and demobilized the rest. So what happened? Why was he shooting? They were only just trying to steal. That thing you are carrying looked like a gun. And nothing happened. At the end, that gang has been broken. Because we don't realize. That's why we don't pray. You say a bad word, this is a problem in this country. You know, and you have not at any time stopped your car. You are driving past. Just stop your car and say, Lord, no now. Let me tell you something. National development is a gift. See, it's a gift of God. If you are waiting on APC, what's the name of the new coalition? ADC. Let me not go into politics. I will have told you some things that you... When I say the saints and the sinners coming together to I saw one that said, but I thought you said you were different from. If you're expecting anybody to form a government in Nigeria to help you, forget that. Better listen to the King of Israel. From where shall I help you? Is it from the threshing floor? Where there's nothing? Why don't you pack and say, dear Lord, have mercy? People can say what they like. You know, this is my Enugu. What did I call it? My Enugu is my mind. That's how I put it. This is my Enugu. It keeps developing year in year. Since I came in, it has never gone backwards. Say so why? I said, because we pray for you all the time. Come to my household regularly. Enugu. We have to pray for Enugu. Pray for peace. Pray for this. Pray for that. And God is listening. The problem is that many of us are not consciously aware. Many people doing the only thing the Lord does, it can kill witch. They can testify that their neighbor died. After that night of Holy Ghost fire anointing night, and pastor said we should sow a seed for any. I sowed one dangerous seed, then my uncle died. They know God did it. But how many Christians have you heard testify that I looked at that the road in our area, it was bad. And we began to pray. Brethren, do you know in less than 18 months, come and see. You hardly hear such testimonies. How often do you hear it? Because they don't do it. They actually don't do it. They don't do the expectation. We don't recognize how much power he has. Like we said the other time, you work in a company. You look at them. This is my guy, they try. But sales have not been good. See, I told you, My wife used to sell things a lot. All right? I mean, she did that business for many years. This one is I witnessed, not I, they come and tell me. They say January is slow because people have finished spending all their money, Christmas, and I watched my wife several times enter into her store. Look at all these goods. What are you people doing here? You were brought to be sold. Then she will lay hands on them one by one. And normally I'm not there. I don't know why I don't have the grace. You know, there's grace you have. I don't have that one. She goes by herself and lay hands on goods and speak to them. And while you watch, every day she'll be telling me. She'll be saying, January is slow. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. There have been times we're driving together. Her phone will ring. Hello? Susan was supposed to give me your number. They said I should see you. They said that somebody told me to see you. It's things I witnessed to. I'm not joking about that. You go to your company and you do this. Father God, we need to increase sales. How many people have done that? What do you hear? This man, he's just chopping this money all by himself. Anyway, Sha, do you know there are a lot of people who actually rejoice when sales drop? You know why? They feel that the man will not be hurt, but this thing must be paid. Call it witchcraft or wizardcraft. At the end, human beings are like that. And as Christians, you have to consciously win your heart of such things. Yeah, seriously. When we said men ought always, all the time to pray, instead of counting how many hours, if you know the number of things you have to pray about, you go to church, your pastor starts talking, things you don't understand. I've seen men do it. They'll say, what is this pastor preaching? Then they go and settle down and pray for him. Some, they will go and meet the pastor, please, can we see? I don't understand. But one of our brothers, he took a set of messages of our books, went and gave his chaplain, his elder. So you are preaching, eh? I don't think it's good. Read these books. Yeah, he did. The man finished reading the books, said, thank you very much. I went to open. Change the whole sermon. He told the brother, God bless you. Thank you. If you still have more, let me have. And they were like, good. He prayed for the man and took my chair and said, oh, God, read this one. It will help you. And the man read it and said, person write this book. This is gospel. He mounted the pulpit. Having crammed the whole book, go there. The church is being blessed. The bro is happy. Everybody is happy. But what does an average person do? Comment. I don't know where they brought this man from. What is going on? I think he's wrong. Everything I don't understand. Maybe he's from this area of Nigeria. He's an Igala man, Elder John will say. There's a lot of voodoo in his place. We'll talk. Do you get my point? And it's your pastor of your church. And you have not prayed for him that, Father God, please give him understanding. The reason is because we underestimate the power that God has over things. And many times he can't do anything because nobody's asking him. Many times he can't do anything because nobody's asking. They don't have any expectation. They don't. I said we should open somewhere, right? What are we saying? We are to be intercessors, not commentators. What did I say? The amount of things that the Lord has given us to help him with is so plenty that you will understand literally what Paul meant. Pray without ceasing. Paul will tell you, pray for us. When I heard of your faith, I did not cease to pray for you. This is what I used to ask for concerning you. Let's look at today's one. I said you open somewhere, right? 1 John 5. Now let's read down from verse 18. Sorry, I meant to say 13. From verse 13. He said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, we apply this a lot, but again, it's good to go to the context and know what he was emphasizing, okay? Even though it applies generally. But specifically in this context, what was he saying? From verse 15, he says, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, We know that we have the request we have asked from him. Now, it now took a particular will of God to show us. What is the will? Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. He says, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. Look, no matter whether it's death or not death, all unrighteousness is sin, John said. But let me emphasize again, there is a sin not leading to death. Everything that is wrong, but the consequences differ. And there is a sin not leading to death. Let me not read for that here. Now, another one I would like to read, just to make my comments clear, or just to give like some scriptural basis of what I want to explain to us, is from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened at the time? Luke chapter 22. Let's read Luke 22. Okay, let's just, for time's sake, just go straight to verse 31. The Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Please, that sentence there, I'm reading the New American Standard, is very important. This is how Satan operates. He needs to seek permission. So Satan has demanded permission, and the word here is demanded. There's the reason why, in fact, my second rendering, that is the comment on the side says, Satan has obtained by asking to sift you like wheat. That is, it's blowing you like chaff. That's what he says. He said, but instead of letting that happen, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So Satan had demanded. Now listen to this. It was not just Peter or Simon. In fact, if you read New Living Translation, it says, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Now, please, I want us to follow something here. This life, God has networked us. Now, this is the point I want to bring out today. Let me say this again. God has networked us deliberately into small packets. Do you get my point? There's a brother, he's in Cameroon, all right? He's about 200 kilometers away from the border. I don't know him. That's where I'm going. He's a Christian brother. His problems don't worry me. If I heard that he died today, I'd say, oh, he died. What happened? Flood. These floods are very terrible. I'd continue what I'm doing. You know why? It's not part of my immediate family. Now, this is the intercessory duty I'm giving us now. When John was speaking, of course, first, let me start by explaining what's the meaning of sin not leading to death. First, John explained that all unrighteousness is sin. For example, a man is maltreating his wife. All right? And it is wrong. You should not do that. The commandment of God is love your wife as Christ loves the church. And this guy is somebody, he's a member of your church, he's a friend of yours, your classmate, used to be in fellowship together, and you hear the news. Please, for time's sake, I'll just summarize. What John has said is that if you have not yet gathered as his brethren to correct him, the elders of the church have not settled down to correct him. Pray for him, that the consequences of his works will not come upon him. That's the summary. Pray for him. Now, that is, now, please, by the way, brethren, let me just add this one by the way, okay? When people have gathered to correct you, I am begging you in the name of the Lord, if your friends, your brethren, your pastors, they gather to correct you, sometimes they are wrong, right? I mean, are they not human? Maybe they're even jealous of you, of what God is doing in your life. Maybe the pastor doesn't like the fact that you're moving forward. Maybe, I don't know. But once they gather and correct you, you are in trouble. Every form of intercession for you on your wrongdoing is in suspension. John said, even if they pray, God won't listen. So why did that make, you know, say, what if they are wrong? Yes. Now, you knowing that you are in trouble, gather it and enter into the closet. And say, Father, Father in heaven now, our heavenly Father. Brother this and Pastor this. Three of them, and Pastor this, they came to talk to me. They say what I'm doing is not right. Because every man's way is what? So the fact that you think you are right doesn't mean you are right. That's why I said what I said. That maybe they are wrong. That's what you think. That's what you think. That's what you think. But the danger you should know, please let me emphasize it. The danger you should know is that the prayer that has kept you alive coming from them and people like them stops working after that day. So it is critical that you go inside and get your correction in order. If you think they are wrong, now that I have told you that your life is now in danger, don't assume they are wrong. Settle down, call other friends. These people said this. Pray hard. Because if they are right, after that day, you read it in the scriptures. John says, you're on your own. He actually specifically said to them, I did not say, because if I've asked before, what is the sin that's unto death? What's the sin that's not unto death? That's what I just explained to you. God has a simple principle. He tells you, go and do so and so and so to the Amalekites. Your name is Saul. He knows you. You are but flesh. You won't do what he said. I mean, when you see fat cow, he will disobey. He knows. See, don't worry. He knows. He's not too surprised. So you go there. They say destroy everything. You say, even this one. You will find certain scriptures, some Greek and Hebrew, that explain that when God says destroy everything, everything does not include the fatted calf because there's a sacrifice you give to God. He knows. He knows how you will do. You went to a church where you were always counseling your sins with sacrifice. Now he sends you an arrow. You collect sacrifice now. That is a sin that is not unto death. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a sin that's not unto death. You want to know when death starts? God will not call Samuel. I feel bad today that I make Saul king. Samuel, go and point his arrow out to him. Samuel now comes and says, what you have done is wrong. The Lord said, destroy everything. He said, it's not me, actually. He wanted to sacrifice. He said, as the Lord has much delight in sacrifice as in obeying his word, his voice. For to obey is better than to sacrifice. And he starts to say, I don't know, Oga Samuel, why are you taking this thing so seriously? Just a few goats and some cows. Once Samuel walks away, you're dead meat. That is when it becomes what? A sin unto death. And the Lord says to Samuel, don't pray for that guy again. Did you correct him? Yes, sir. We did. Then, no need to pray anymore. You prayed for weeks before you managed to see him. After you have finished seeing him and he has heard you and he still continues in his way, I remember one man, I will not mention his name because his followers may not like the idea. He was a very great prophet. And he loved to teach. And some great men like himself went to him and said, Oga, you're a prophet, you're an evangelist. You're not a teacher. If you continue like this, you'll be disobeying what God is saying you should do. He said, doesn't matter, I like to teach. Because at that time, teaching was coming into vogue. He was sharing revelation, all kinds of revelation. That's when he was discovering that... You hear funny things like Adam knew his wife and she begat Cain and then she begat Abel. Say, hey, wait, how many times did Adam knew his wife? I know my English is wrong, but you get my point. How many times? Say, once. How many deliveries? Two. Say, Cain is one of the fathers of one of the children. So, Satan is the father of one of the children. Yeah, because Adam knew his wife only once and she gave birth twice. Who's responsible for the second one? Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Are people still following that nonsense this day? So after a while, God said, it's enough. Kill him. Yeah, literally, God said, kill him. When they wouldn't listen, the Lord said, yeah, kill him. Without the anointing, God removed him. Why? Because men called him and told him, oh boy, this thing you are doing, you don't have the grace for it. He said, no, I want to do it. Later, some people said that part of his problem was money problem. If you're a preacher, don't let money problem send you up and down. Started preaching things to please those who are inviting him so he could get money. So God said, I beg, it's enough. Remove him. And that's what he did. What is a sin not unto death? It's simple. The sin for which you have not been corrected. What is sin unto death? The one you have been corrected concerning, after which God's intercession will not work. This one cannot be atoned for by sacrifice. Forget it. But let's talk about sin unto death and not unto death. All right? If you notice, John was emphasizing the one that was what? Not unto death. Because the last question said, there is a sin not unto death. When you sit down, you point out, now, this is my message for today. Your responsibility in the company of brethren and friends. That's the message for today. You should be occupied with praying for one another. I don't know the one that Ngozi is doing these days. That's a prayer point. Last time I saw Michael, I think I drunk. That's a prayer point. The way he's dressing these days, I don't understand. What is he trying to become? That's a prayer point. It's not a gossip point. It's what?
Prayer.
A prayer point. I saw him. It doesn't look so well. What is the issue? That's a prayer point. Let me say this to you again. That may be what will keep this man alive. That may be what will restore him to prosperity. It is your duty. He's your friend. I give you the assignment again today by the Holy Spirit. Take time this week and just gather. Just think about it. I mean, when I say gather, I don't mean physical. I mean, gather their names. Friends that are really yours. You know, not everybody's your friend. And don't feel bad. Everybody can be your friend. But the ones that are yours, you must do your job. There's one problem I had over my life that is a serious problem. Like I told you, my wife and I are slightly different in that area. I used to have a belief, and until now I'm like that. God is helping me. I don't like to talk. Sometimes somebody just walking down the road where he's going, he's going to fall into a ditch. My wife said, "Why don't you stop him?" I said, "He doesn't listen." But we entered the ditch. I said, "When he breaks his leg, he will come out." What is my wife? She will enter into a quarrel with you on how you are going. And a lot of times it turns into a quarrel. And I say, "See, I warned you not to enter into square." I say, "But at least I've said what I wanted to say." Which one is good? Which one is bad? Don't judge. Don't judge. Just know that there are two sides. There are two sides to this matter. There are some that are like me. There are some that are like my wife. All right? But there's one that everybody must do. Everybody must do that, which is what? Pray. One day, one brother was doing something. And I like the way his friends did it. They gathered some of us who were not really his core friends, were younger than him. They said, "What this guy is doing is not good. We have prayed. We want to talk to him. You guys go and pray." You know, I was young. I didn't understand some of these things. And they talked and he got angry. And it didn't turn out well for him. And I look back, I remember that day that they said, "Let us pray." Then they will now went to talk. Please, I'm begging you. See, correction. In fact, you know what Solomon said? He says, like oil. Who said it? Was it David or Solomon? David. There's like oil on your head when the righteous strikes you. He says, like oil on your head. Now, they didn't use the hand to strike you now. All they did was use their mouth. And they rebuked you sharply. Why should you be talking to me like that? But what you did, is it wrong? Your own concern is how he's talked to you. You are like that, eh? Just know that you are heading for, I don't like to say it, too, but that's, you know, the way of destruction. That's the way it starts. I remember a man one day in UNTH. I parked my car somewhere, and I was in a hurry. I went with my wife that day. I just rushed, I think we were traveling or something. I just parked my car, ran inside to get something done, to be back in 15 minutes. I came back in 15 minutes. One guy had parked his car right behind me. Now, for those of you who don't know, when you block people, this is modern day. What do? Write your phone number boldly. Where rain won't wash it off. I always put my mind inside the car. I plaster it against the glass. This guy did nothing of such. And it happened not to be a staff of the hospital. So nobody around recognized the car. It took me 45 minutes. Yes, to find this guy. I looked everywhere. Went to all the departments around that area. "Please, who wants this car?" Nobody knew. Ah. Then finally, one guy said, "I've seen this car before. I think the guy is a contractor." I said, "Go and check the main admin office." So I walked in there. I saw one guy seated. I said, "Hello. So and so car, is it yours?" He said, "Yes." I said, I don't believe you did that. Please come and move your car. You know what the person told me? Don't talk to me like that. I said, wait. Like, should I jump on you and eat you completely? I shouldn't talk to you like that. You've kept my journey for 45 minutes. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is how I'm talking to you. Even though it is clear I'm older than you. God knows why he reserved this power for himself. Because if he gave me a small dose. If he gave me a small dose. My kill list will be long. Look, he's here. He's angels. Hold back. Give my power. Give me. So they held it. Say, give me power. They didn't say I should give you. It was the first thing he told me that, don't talk to me like that. Like, excuse me? Did you just hear what I said? He told somebody, I didn't even ask what happened. What happened that you don't have sense in your head? That's all that happened. Because where he parked was shaded. It was raining. So where I parked was in the rain. But there's a path you could park your car. There's a kind of walkway that covers you. So I parked there and ran to where it was going. An average person, what's the first thing you say? Oh my God! Then all my anger will go down. He answered me and said, don't talk to me like that. So I asked him, because you are who? Thank God that I didn't have powers. The powers I have not yet used them. Now, of course, if it's these days, I'm calmer now. You know what I mean? I'm now like doing work here. I'm calm now. I don't get that. And these days, I can't laugh at such things. You know why I laugh these days? I just believe that God is in charge of my life. I just tell myself, it's the Lord that delayed me for 45 minutes. But he had to use a goat like you, so it's okay. So I just laugh at your goatness. I said, look at this man that is using. They gave a car. In my mind, I'm laughing. No, literally, these days, I've gotten to that point. I'm just laughing. You kept your car there. Just come and move your car. I said, okay. Just come and move it. I have where I'm going. But those days, I wasn't as cool as this. I felt like eating this guy alive. But the point I'm making, let's talk about him. Don't ever be like that. No, it's not right. Always own up to your own mistakes, your errors. What I'm talking about him is that he said, don't talk to me like that. That was not the issue. How I spoke to you was not an issue. Your error was the issue. There's an error here for goodness sake. Even if you want to correct me, you should tell me later after we have solved it. Say, bro, why you can't they shout at me like say I have a small picking? Then I will tell you that after all you behave like one. Then we'll become friends. No, you're right. No, that's where they tend to end. Please, believers, pray to God to give you the heart to accept correction. It's very, very important. Now, remember what I was saying? Friends, please pray for you. I'm giving you the commandment of the Lord. Do you know many of us, if you think about it, how many times have you ever taken the names of your friends and prayed for them? Including when you see that they have, it's only when they are falling sick. And many of these sickness are judgmental. You don't know that? A lot of sickness will fall into his judgment. Some people say, no, God does not. See, stop quoting things. You know they call it a golden calf. When you take gold and build your own God, read how God described himself. I kill and I make alive. Don't say he doesn't kill. He said, I kill. He said, I'm about to invent calamity against these people. He brings forth calamity. He said, for this cause, many are sick. Many are weak and sick amongst you. And many sleep. It was his judgment. It was not the devil. We like to say, devil did not kill Ananias and Sapphira. According to Sadhu Savaraj, it was a seraph that they preserve holiness. That's their assignment. One of the seraphim came and struck them. What gives people the impression that God doesn't kill people? It's not true. He does. I mean, you've seen him do it. Who came to kill Moses? Satan. And Satan stopped on the way to prevent Moses from fulfilling his destiny. Who got out of Aaron? Don't miss Saturday. We'll talk about that Aaron matter. Keeping your priestly garment on. Please, let's not go there. The point I'm making is that many of it, we wait for people to fall sick before we start praying.
We wait for them to fall sick. That, you know, that is when we start praying. When a brother has not been coming to church, every time you say, ah, so we have business in the office. In the office now, we have my boss. We work weekends. You keep hearing stories. You can be talking amongst them. That guy is backsliding. Is that not what we do? The things of the world now, they are attracting him too much. But that's not supposed to be. And I'm giving you what the Spirit is saying. That at such a time, gather friends and say, hey, when last did you see Andrew? It's been a while. I've noticed something about Andrew. So let's do something. Let's pray for him. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. He says, Satan has a desire all the time. He wants to sift people like wheat. What it means is, see, blow them off the chaff, like chaff. He wants them to blow away from the faith. And let me just say something to you. This life is a war zone. It's a war zone. Something struck me the other day. In fact, I decided that, God helping me, if I tell you to remind me of this, will you remember now? You will remember. Because I had an inspiration this morning. You know, you talk about marriage and all of that. Marriage is good. Marriage is bad. All of those things. A good marriage, there's no technique. You know, I've said this many times before. Yeah. It's a gift. God gives it to you. And Satan likes to steal it. So this morning I was thinking, can't remember what led to it. I said, I have to teach people how to arm themselves against the assault of Satan against their homes. It's an assault. Children that smoke is not a game of chance. A spirit carries them and pushes them to where they smoke. I'm telling you the truth. If God says this child will not smoke, see, when his friends give him that go to smoke, he won't even know what made him run. That is when police will raid the place and carry your son and lock him in jail. And as soon as you come, please, I'm looking for my little boy. They will bring him out and give to you. After that, he will lose all his friends. And his Holy Spirit walking. It's the angels that are okay. See, those policemen that arrested him, they are not from that station. They just came, collected the boys, took them to the nearest police station, and tell the one, these boys are smoking a bowl, and those ones just gladly put them behind counter, knowing that releasing them is going to be good. If you know, you know. If you don't get it, forget about it. Thank you. Bail is free. So, we know bail is free. Come on. And because, of course, in fact, they drop the exhibit, and all of them are just smelling. But your boy has not yet smoked. And God will not, the DP will not come in. Look at him. What happened? They will report. Bring that boy for me. As in, they will give him one slap. You look like a responsible boy. What do you want to do? After slapping you 2 ways, then you will now arrive. And then they will give you your son. You won't pay any money. You just, bail is free. Your son will go. The other people, their own bail is also free. You get my point? If you know what I mean. After that, that boy will not smoke. Like this, he will lose those friends. It's an angel. It's the Spirit of God. But the one that has been given over. Brethren, please, I'm trying to explain something to you. These things are the giving overs. The one that has been given over. We're studying the Bible this morning. What proverb did you read just now, this morning? 21. It talked about this, those who fall for the smooth words of an adulteress. And I told my family again, I said, listen, I've told you guys before that when you say adulteress, adulterous woman in the Bible, it wasn't talking about a woman. It was talking about this concept in life. It's a worldly spirit. It has smooth words. And they made it clear that those who God wants to punish, we believe her. So fortify yourself, arm yourself against this Satan. What I'm trying to explain is that it's an assault. Please, let me stay there for a moment. Don't read books that don't have power. How to have a happy marriage. You know, women are very soft. You need to give them soft gifts like ice cream and pomade. Because they are soft. Men are hard. You have to give a hard gift like screwdriver. It's your husband's birthday. Go and buy two.
and hammer. Thank you.
They'll be telling you nonsense. Teach you witchcraft, how to manipulate.
I'm sorry, I hardly read those books. You know why?
Too much common sense. They don't help anybody. There's no talk you want to talk to Lazarus. He's dead, he's dead. If you want to talk to Lazarus, make sure you have the power of life. Make sure you have the power of life in your tongue. If you want to talk to Lazarus. So for me, I believe, I'd rather a book that says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's the cover of the book. You know why? Those words have what? Power. They have power. They have power. They'll take a husband that is gone and a wife that's gone and bring them back together. The word has power. Please don't use common sense. Please don't try to run your life with common sense. Lazarus, never forget Lazarus. Motivational speakers can't wake Lazarus up. They can't. You need Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he were to die, yet he will live again. Your brother will live again. You get my point? He said to them, your brother will live again. Why am I going to all this talk? This life is assault, it's fight, it's war. And the word there is words. When Satan wants to destroy people, many times God will say, it comes, he says, Satan has what? Demanded, desired, requested permission. He said, but what did I do? I came and I opposed him. How did I oppose him? With a request. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Your friend is misbehaving. Don't just talk about it. When you finish, pray. Father God, I pray for my friend Michael that his faith will not fail. Lord, you see, this tendency he seems to be having, this is towards the smoking of India. You get my point? Just as an illustration. See, I've told you before, this prayer is not, hey, God, oh, go, go, God, oh. There are times for that, you will know, all right? But don't create a habit out of it. If you know what you want to say, say it. Quote certain small scriptures. You can use that expression. Jesus, you said, whoever God the Father has given to you, you will not lose any one of them. I believe that my friend Michael is one of the people that the Father has given to you. Please don't let him fall. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
It's as simple as that. You will soon have a testimony one day that your friend will just wake up one day and say, what am I doing? Because Satan is very interesting. He always give you business appointment by 10 o'clock on Sunday. You now go to church, your phone is on vibrate. Abraham's blessing. It's in your pocket. Pastor, okay, let's sit down. Today, open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 21. Just said, Yosha, excuse me. Go outside. Hello? Are they come? Right. You come back to church, whisper to your wife, please, I'm coming. Four Sundays in a row. Can't you say Satan is on your case? I've told you, when you are entering church, everybody, quench your phone. Say, what if they come? They will wait. What if they can't wait? They should go to somebody else. Not every business is your own. And you know what? Let people know that you're a churchman. Let them know. Let them know that we are going to be passing through Enugu, but it's on Sunday. Ah, but we know you now. Say, thank you for knowing. And don't say, no, don't worry. Eh, they should worry. They should worry. No, they should worry. You don't get my point? Let them worry. Sometimes what you're just trying to do is create a habit. Create a reputation. Let them just know that, that guy, they go to church. This is so time, man. And let's call him, shall I just find out? Don't give them that that gap. No, don't worry, when you come out, you call me, I'll come out. You're not coming out. You're not. In fact, my phone will be, I'll say, we have service. It's from 9. Normally we'll finish around 12. But our flight is 12:30. Okay, when we finish, I'll see whether I can still catch you guys. Maybe there'll be a delay. Don't give them the chance that you will come out. You are not coming out. Just keep saying, 12, 9 to 12. Car is to be hard. But you can't. No, I can't. You're trying to create a habit, a reputation for yourself that these people should know not to intrude into this my time. If I told you an appointment with the president, will you tell me I can come out? You would not say that. My pastor is a preacher. Normally, he hits the high point around 11:30. And true. See, listen, Tell them, because you see, so, you know, God, if God has a word for you at that time,
He will speak it whether you are there or you are not. He will speak that word whether you are there or you are not. And you'll be judged as if you were there. You know why? You were supposed to be there. What am I saying? You see your friends begin to miss services? Don't just talk. Pray for him. See, this is your friends. You're a woman now. The way she talks to her husband, I say, they will soon collect this husband from her. Don't say that. Even though you know it's true, and you know, those who talk nicer than her will soon collect the husband. But it shouldn't be. Should it be? Pray for her. You know, a lot of people don't know. The other day, I went to share a word somewhere. One of our church. One man, he saw me, I went to preach the other place. Pastor Levi's place. So after service, the brother came, you remember me? I remember the face. But I didn't quickly fix it. He said, no, you and I were. So I said, okay, I remember. We went to speak somewhere. You spoke before I came. I said, okay, I remember. He said, thank you so much. God bless you. He said, there's a way you explain submission. He had been married for 20 years. His wife had never understood until that day.
Wow.
Yeah. He had argued tire all his life. He said, since that day, man of God, I've not had that problem again. He said, suddenly my wife got the point. You know what that tells you? She was not wicked all this while. She did not know. He told me something that I said, the way I said it. He said, no, my wife did not know. He said, it was that day when you finished illustrating it. Suddenly she got the point. And she said, he said, thank you very much. Did you see me and him talking? That's what we're, okay, you were there when he was saying it. Oh, I didn't even thought we were alone. I didn't know you were there. He was there. Ask him. Why did I tell that story? For one of our brothers, let me see whether you are here. I won't point you out. Okay, it's not around. One day I finished preaching. He said, Pastor, this is what you say. He said, it's not as if we were wicked. He said, we're not doing them. Not because we're wicked. He said, we did not know. I finished preaching. He came to me afterwards. He said, this is what you are saying. We're not wicked. We're not doing them. Not out of wickedness. He said, we did not know. Many people are not doing what is right. And not knowing is not an excuse. It only suspends judgment. It does not bring a blessing. Hey, let me quickly tell you that. Ignorance never brings a blessing. The best it does is suspend judgment. So if God wants to bless and you don't know, you will not be blessed. Which is why Paul would pray for the people. And these are the things you pray for your friends. That God will fill them with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Time, let me just rush what I'm saying. I must add this on to it. Not just your friends, because I don't want to take another day on it. That's why God brought in a family. Your brother. Your sister. Now, I've said this before. You know, it's as if, did you notice what Jesus said here? About Peter. New Living Translation, go back to it. What did he say? Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift all of you. He used the word all of you. But Simon, I have prayed for you, only you, that your faith will not fail. But then I now give you an assignment. When you have been strengthened, when you have been converted, what do? You strengthen everybody else. Why is it like that? I don't know. Let me not claim to know. But don't ever think it's because you have more sense. You're in a family of 5 siblings. Only you know the Lord. Don't ever think. The way my brother has been behaving, let me tell you the truth. This is the way I've seen it over the years. It's as if all the mercy available to your family can't go around to be effective. From your father to your mother and your uncles and everything. No good thing did the ancestors leave for them. Just small thing. The fact that one day your mother helped somebody carry it on her head in the market. Small mercy. Small. Small. God looked at everything and said, Kai, how do I do in this family? If I leave them, all of them will go to hell. All. Say, concentrate the mercy on this one. You know, concerning the house of Jeroboam, he said only one of them will have a good burial. He said, because something good. Why is it like that? I don't know. I don't claim to know. God will say, something good was found in this one. So concentrate the mercy. So your brother is smoking Indian hemp. Not because you're better than him. Because God didn't have leftover mercy for him. I pray you understand what I'm saying. Yes. See, he would have only smoked small, locally grown Igbo, Enugu Igbo, which is not potent. You understand my point? Look, what can they grow in Enugu here is with coal in the ground. If you want Igbo that works, go to Ndoka's place. Igbo that works. Do you get my point? Actually, my part of Ondo State, they grow good quality. So much that my former governor asked the government to legalize so he can export it. Yeah, he did. He asked the federal government to please legalize this thing. Because we're into mass production. No. You guys are laughing. I'm not kidding. Since I was a child, one day my father and I went out quite late at night. So we parked. It was a rural, like, village road. So we parked. So I think maybe I had a flat tire or something. I can't remember. But told me to wait. I wanted to go and get something. So after a while, I sat in the car. Some men came around. They looked, greeted me. Good evening. I said, good evening, sir. Okay. So at that point, my father came back. Those men were milling around. Good evening. My father greeted them. Then they left. My father said, do you know what they are doing? He said, they saw the car. It looked a bit official. So they came to check whether it was police. So I'm like, why did they check whether it's police? He said, no, they are going to the farm. And like, this was like 6:37. He said, no, they are Igbo farmers. I said, what? I was a little boy. My father told me, I'm not kidding. So my side of Nigeria, good stuff. Where I'm going is that your brother has been smoking local Igbo. Now that's all, what he would have been smoking. But now, he has gone to Nduka's place and collected the one from Kwale. Strong in cannabinoids. Do you know why? God took the little mercy he would have had and placed on your head, and you didn't smoke anything. When your siblings are sneaking to go to party, you are sneaking to go to church. See, don't think it's because you are wise. It's not. It's God wreaked all the mercy available to the whole family and concentrated it on one. It's like when parents they are not rich, they are not well-to-do. They educate the first son. They sell and they do everything. What is their hope? If this guy can make it, the younger ones are safe. You know that concept? We have it a lot in Africa. You know the interesting thing? God does it. He now says, now that you are a pastor, see, now you have the capacity to generate mercy. You now have the capacity to generate mercy. Don't forget them. So you will kneel down and take them one by one. First, you will forgive. So at least now you know that it's not like you have more sense. So you first forgive, because you see that your brother, he caused your parents a lot of heartache. They spent money. They were always going to police station every month. The other day, they got into a court fight. They almost killed him. You have begun to pray. He wasn't killed. Then you will pray until he's saved. And God said, actually, let me tell you, this house, I need 4 preachers. You are number one. That your brother is number two. You will pray until he's called to ministry. You will pray until he joins you in prayer. Then your work is less. That your sister that has married 3 men, and she's only 25. She's not crazy. She doesn't have enough mercy. She's not crazy, just does not have enough mercy. You get on your knees again, you start praying. Now you have 2 people. And you pray all your life until everybody is saved. You know, when I was younger, you know, because we believe, just things. See, these things are generational. I know what I'm telling you. Because maybe my mother dragged us for catechism that time. My father used to go to African church. You understand? They sing him. So God took it. Next generation says, no, you are going Pentecostal. Some of us, we feel too good with ourselves, as if we are the ones. No, it's not you. This thing, what is the Paul said to Timothy? said there was faith that was in your grandmother Lois, which is your mother Eunice, which is now in you. It's been going generation to generation, has been amplified. You know what I found out? When you, anytime you find yourself as the only faith person in the house of hooligans, just know you have a job. Don't forget them. Don't get angry with them. You must see, even if your brother kills somebody and is on death row, you will not forget him. Yeah. You will pray for, it is your job. Nobody, do you think I have your brother's time? Do you get my point? I don't have his time. I don't know him. I don't care really. How can I care? Did we suck the same breast? How can I care? Did you sleep on the same bed? I can't care like that. I'm not wicked. I just can't care like that for everybody in the world. The other day, one young man, they tossed him in prison, in police cell. He called from there, called my wife, said that he's hungry. Ah. My wife called me and said, he's hungry. Why is he calling me? Because nobody in the family will answer him. Nobody. He worked for my wife for a period. I told my wife, I said, you're the only one that answers him. So he was in police cell and he was hungry. He begged for a food that let him call somebody. The other day I was talking. I was just gisting with somebody. Yeah, yesterday. Yesterday Monday, right? Yeah. I said, this guy is a doctor. So I was just talking. I said, but he went mad. He said, all the way mad. I said, yeah, he's mad. He walks the streets naked. Fellow said, what did you say? I said, yes. No, I'm not kidding. Fully trained medical doctor. Practiced for years. And I said, what happened? I said, there was nobody to look after his matter. I said, I know medicine a bit. I know psychiatry. I said, there's nothing wrong with him that's terribly wrong. Except that last time I knew, everybody had given up. That's where I'm going. Everybody had given up. His mother, she was alive. But now, they had given up. So you actually be going around, just see one young man rummaging through rubbish and is a fully trained medical doctor. Yeah. So this is what I'm saying, not a joke. What's his problem? Everybody gave up. Everybody left him alone. That's why I said, look, see, his friends did what they could. His classmates did what they could. Finally, they too, they got tired. The only person that should not get tired are his blood relatives. They shouldn't get tired. So I know what I'm telling you. Don't feel superior to anybody because they go to church. Your sister, they go club. I told her, no, you can't tell how. You can't live with it. I told her. Because nobody else cares. Not because they are bad, but because they don't have the capacity to care. They didn't suck the same breast, they didn't eat from the same food, the same pot, they did not sleep on the same bed. They met for a few years in university and they are gone. Intercessory duty of believers. That's what I'm preaching. This life, we have work. We have work. But Satan has given us plenty of talk. You talk. Please, don't, I told you. You see, in a family, you have 7 siblings. Only you go to church. It's because God said there was not enough mercy. You think people think I have mercy just like, no. Go and read the story of Israel. David has so much mercy, all right, that he loaded for his descendants. God will want to do, I go kill everybody. He said, but for my servant, David. There are people like that nobody, once God wants to kill them, he's killing. Nobody is praying. Nobody left mercy behind. Nothing. If you see the nonsense that David's descendants did, God will just look at them and say, hi, my servant David. So mercy, don't just assume that God just... No, but sometimes what he does, like I said, all the, a lot of people know that God has rules and doesn't break them. Doesn't break them. So he gathered all the mercy available in your household and it's on your head. So now that you are converted, there's work. And the work is not hard. Just remember to do it. Just remember to do it. Just kneel down and mention your brother by name. Because those who can ask for mercy must have received mercy. Do you get my point? No, it's the law of God. It's the law of God. If you have not received mercy, you cannot ask for mercy. I mean, you say, I mean, look at what he said concerning, what is his name? The high priest in Israel. They first have to offer a sacrifice for them. So they are so busy with their own matter. That's where I'm going. You get my point? Uh-huh. So really, it's only after they have offered the sacrifice for themselves that they cannot offer for others. You get what I'm saying? So, you that have now received mercy, you are the one that can now say in simple terms, Lord, have mercy on my brother. And you won't say it once. You will say it until that fellow can say by himself, Lord, have mercy on me. Then he starts a work of righteousness too. He now becomes one who can join you to pray for the next person. But until then, okay, you have work to do. I need to reiterate this, all right? Don't ever feel you're better than somebody else. Just because you see them walking in iniquity, that you're not walking it. Like this man used to say, who can remember me? There goes I, but for the grace of God. Was it Martin Luther? No, not Kenneth. Kenneth was quoting that person. One of these saints of old. Martin Luther's kind of person. So you see a drunk on the road, one man that just, you know, living life uselessly. He was a preacher. You see, there goes I, but for the grace of God. Do you get my point? What have I said today? I've introduced a subject that, yes, without this praying job, without this necessary work, a lot of things won't go right in other people's life because they are under assault from Satan. And God has brought you to his side so that you can work with him to redeem other people. Do you get my point? I'll revise it again next time, and then we'll take some time praying. But I've laid the foundation today. Well, let's just do some practice. Let's just start. First, let's ask for mercy, because, you know, negligence. you understand my point? The negligence that all of us have been, everybody, me too, all right? All of us, negligence. Let's just repent of negligence. Many of it because of ignorance. Negligence because of ignorance. Let's just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Because I didn't know. Paul said, I acted in ignorance, in unbelief, because of ignorance. Say, Lord, have mercy. Now, of course, you have received mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. So just take a moment before we go today. Just take one of your siblings or one of your friends. Somebody you think is not walking in the light as you are walking in the light. Your sister you have been angry with, she doesn't agree to follow you to church. She did follow one boyfriend. And now you know why. Just take somebody's name and say, Lord, I'm asking for this one. Don't deal with her according to the multitude of her iniquity. That's what the Bible says. That he has not dealt with us according to the multitude of our iniquities. So it's a good prayer to pray for somebody. Please don't deal with my sister. Don't deal with my brother. Don't deal with my friend according to the multitude of his iniquity or her iniquity. Let's start with that. Say, Lord, let him not die. You know, fools, because of the multitude of their transgressions, that's what they should experience, destruction. Say, Lord, I'm praying for her that destruction will not come. Say, Lord, the reason why I'm praying is so that there will be time for her to receive your mercy. Maybe she will not listen to me personally, but send laborers into her harvest. Say, Lord, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak against the prince of this world that blinds the eyes, the God of this world, of the unbelieving. Let his blindness be removed from her in the name of Jesus. Very simple. But God listens. And in fact, he's been waiting. He's been waiting to do good for you and your sister and your siblings. He has been waiting for you to ask. Many times we've had this attitude. I did go to my church. No. Don't be content in that church unless they come along. Pray for a brother, a sister. These are Christians now who are not walking in the light. Some of them are still pursuing witches. Don't be angry. It's called darkness. It's called ignorance. Ask the Lord to bring light into their darkness. Ask the Lord to bring light into their darkness. Say, Father, bring light into their darkness. So you have to start having joy. That is a special joy in people walking in the light. Your friends walking in the light. Your family members walking in the light. Your parents walking in the light. Now, if that thing is giving you joy, then make it a special prayer request for them. Make it a special prayer request. Ask the Lord. Have mercy on my brother. Have mercy on my father. Sometimes you just need to forgive. You have to understand that sometimes people just walk in darkness because they don't have light. Sometimes they are not as wicked as you think. They are in darkness. They don't know better. Now give thanks for what we have learned today. Give the Lord thanks for the understanding He has given, for the fact that He has answered our prayer. Give thanks for the understanding He has given, and the fact that He answered your prayer today. So Lord, thank You for giving me light. And thank You because now we are working on my brother's case, and I know You are working already. Feel the Lord being happy that, yes, You've taken up Your assignment in that family. Father, we give You praise. Thank You for today. Thank You for insight. Thank You for understanding. Thank You for leading us aright. Thank You for the walk in righteousness engineered by Your Spirit. The instructions You've given us by Your Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into light. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed from that curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Can you bless somebody beside you? Two people, say this is your season. Demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Another person, this is your season. Now give one for yourself. This is my season. The demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, share our brethren.